Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. And I appreciate Rich praying for me last week. I had a cough that I couldn't stop coughing, so I didn't come to church. I didn't want to interrupt just the service. And I was getting better, but yesterday it seemed like a little relapse. So continue to pray for me as I just bring forth what I believe God's put on my heart. I don't want to cough. I wasn't singing. But it was wonderful. As Dom said, the worship here just allowed me to just focus on the truth of what we sang about. And it's very powerful. Our text today, as we continue in our study of Colossians, is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. We're going to have that on the overhead a little bit, but if you want to get a Bible or if you don't have one, the ushers can get one for you. It's a marvelous passage. But what I want to do is kind of give us a little reminder of the great salvation that has been given to us as a gift through our Lord. And I want to kind of break this down for us. There's kind of like three components or three stages of our salvation. And the first one is our justification, if you would put that up there. Justification. It's the time, the act, when I come to the point in my life that I realize I am a sinner separated from God forever. And I know most of you here have experienced that act of God in our lives, where He has declared us righteous. I was thinking about this. I can remember the day when I came to the point that I realized I needed Jesus, my Savior. I knew exactly where I was to this day, and it's been over 55 years ago. Can anybody, and this is what's neat, people are writing their story out for us for the baptism. Hopefully part of that story, and it's not necessary, remember, if you know for sure that you've believed in Jesus, that's what's important. But is there anybody here who knows where they were the time that they accepted Christ as their Savior? Andrew, tell me where. Yeah, great. At home. Wonderful story. Anybody else? I saw a lot of hands. Carl. Yeah. Wonderful. High school. Praise the Lord for Young Life. Who else? Yes, Mr. Greg. Yeah. 8:45, you knew the time. Yeah. Yeah, it's neat. Wonderful. Anyone else? I know for me, I was in my mom's bedroom, my parents' bedroom. For Luanne, at the age of around 23, she was in a church sitting there, and the gospel was brought to her, and she just knew that's what she wanted. These are marvelous times for each one of us. One more. Anybody remember their place? Jeff. At VBS. Marvelous. All right. As we all look back on this, this was the place where, here's what the Bible says, we were dead in our sins, alienated from God, enemies. And through the gospel, each one of us were touched. And we realized, our hearts were awakened to say, there is a God, and my sin has separated me from Him. But through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has provided a way, and by faith, through His grace, I receive that. I respond to that. And Christ comes and brings, there's so much that we can learn about our justification, but forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future are covered in Christ. Marvelous. And I need to continue to learn about that, because it plays a huge role in how I act out my everyday life. Then there's another aspect of my salvation, which is the glorification of my salvation. That's future. That's coming. There will be a day when I will be given a body along with my spirit that will be eternal. No more sickness, no more pain, no more sin in my life. And I will be in the presence of God forever. That's part of our salvation that has been given to us as a gift. And we need to have a hope in that. We need to learn some things that God is telling us about that. He tells us in 1 John that when I see Jesus, I'll be like him, for I'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself. So we need to have a hope in this glorification, this aspect of our salvation that we haven't received yet, but it is ours to come. But in Colossians, in this passage, I'm going to build upon what Andrew talked on last week. This is so marvelous as well. This is my sanctification. This is the place that God has empowered me through the Holy Spirit, that in my justification, I was declared righteous. In my glorification, I will be righteous. In my sanctification, I'm becoming righteous. And here's what we need to see about this. And this is hard for me because of, as Andrew taught last week about putting off this old nature, my old nature deceives me. It kind of wants me to live for myself. But this righteousness of Christ that I've been given is the most marvelous experience that I could ever enter into life. This sanctification, this power over sin that I've been given, is the best thing happening. And I don't always go for it. And you don't either. And you know that. As Andrew read that list, and there's a list in Galatians and Ephesians, as he said before, it's all over, where God gives us glimpses of the characteristics of this sinful nature. I recognize even now, after 55 years of being justified by Christ, I have a sin nature that wants to rule, and at times it does. And I can be greedy and selfish. And my point today is, we want to focus on what God has given us so that we can enter into more and more of what God has for us. Because this righteousness that you and I can grow in, there's nothing like it in the world. Jeff talked about in his prayer about the brokenness of this world. It is broken. If you've been in the news this week with Syria, killing its own people, it's horrendous. Why? Because of a sinful nature of people. One of the verses we're going to read today is about the peace that God wants us to have. I want to tell you this, and this is what I believe the scripture teaches. There will never, ever be peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace brings his foot down to the Mount of Olives and sets up his kingdom. It will not happen. But you and I, as believers, can experience this peace. It's part of our righteousness. And it's marvelous. So what I want to focus on today And if we turn to Colossians, I want to read this passage. Jeremy, if you can put it up there. Now, if you remember from last week, Andrew was talking about put to death, therefore, whatsoever things belong to your earthly nature, your sin nature, your carnal nature. This old man is what the scripture says, just different descriptions of it. And then it goes into what we should put on, and it continues that list in verse 12. I want to just read it through. You read it with me. Let's read it aloud, okay? Verse 12, ready? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness, patience. Whenever with each other, and whatever grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All through Scripture, God instructs us on how he wants us to live. For me, in all the studies that I've done, and I love studying prophecy, I love studying eschatology in the end times, I love the study of the symbolism of the Old Testament, but nothing reinforces the truth that this is God's word than how you and I should live. Because when you and I allow the Holy Spirit to live in us with his righteousness, what transpires is marvelous. I know this for a fact because I have sinned against Luanne, being harsh, and she has sinned against me. But we have made it when we took our vows some 40 years ago. We said this, two things we said. We're going to love God more than we love each other. And we're going to follow God and have his love in our marriage. We haven't always done that, but we keep coming back to that. And we have allowed God to do a work in our lives that we have experienced. And I know some of you have too. What God can do to a life when it's surrendered to him, it's beautiful. And I've also seen through the years of being in leadership here and counseling people who do not follow God and the destructiveness that it does to a life. God knows what he's talking about. When we live for him, there's nothing better. And I hope you and I have tasted that, and we long for that, and we continue in it. There's so much in here. And I've tried to, whenever I've read things that God wants me to be, I try to write them down and get them into my heart. Compassion, kindness, humility, marvelous stuff. Learning to forgive each other. This forgiveness, as the Lord forgave you, this is where we go back to the justification. If I'm growing in my understanding that I have been forgiven for everything I've done, all the wickedness, the lying, the stealing, God says in Christ, it's all forgiven. If I know that, then when you sin against me, I can forgive you. because it doesn't come close to how much God has forgiven me. So I'm growing in that, and I want that to be part of my life. There's so much here, but I want to focus on three aspects in this passage that God has said, I want you to understand you can have this in your life. And as Steve did the outlines for the whole Colossians, he entitled this Hope's Motto. See, there's a little bit of history here. Years ago, when we founded this church and we called it Family Bible Church, we desired that this would be a church where Christ is exalted. It even says that in Harrisburg. What's the purpose of our meeting? To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To honor Jesus in whatever we do, whether in word or deed. Matter of fact, we had a song that we would sing every Sunday at the end of our message, which we're going to sing today, to remind us this is what we're about. And not only as a church, but as individuals, if we can grow in the depth of understanding this, it's unbelievable what we can be as a church. Take your eye down to verse 15. These are the three aspects that I'm going to just share on today. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Paul's instructing you and I and the Colossians to let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. First of all, I love that word let. That's a choice. That's a form of for us to submit to something. To submit to what? The peace of Christ. Well, what is this peace of Christ? Well, Jesus said it himself, Philippians says it, the peace that Jesus has is beyond understanding. That's how big this peace is. And it goes on to say, not only does God want us to have it, he wants us to rule our hearts. Let me share with you James Strong's definition of peace. And there was quite a number of listings here, you know, the absence of war, harmony, all good things this way. But it says this, of Christianity, it is the tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort it is. It almost reminds me of that song, It Is Well With My Soul. No matter what happens to me in this life, God says, I can have a peace and assurance that will blow people away. That's what we're to have in Christ. And only in Christ. I want to take you to Romans 8. This whole thing of putting off the old man and putting on the new is everywhere through the scripture. God wants to pound it home in you and I that just like my justification, it's all grace and nothing that I do. So is my sanctification. It's all the work of Christ in me. But I submit to that. I have a responsibility to let God do the work in me. And to the scripture says it in a few different ways, to put off the old man, to crucify him, to die to my sin. Everyone who is apart from Christ is a slave to sin. We've talked about that before. Those who do not have Christ have to sin. Now, that doesn't mean they can't do humanitarian things. But before a holy God, they are separated forever. And my salvation brings me back to God. And my sanctification is working that through, that I'm becoming what God wants me to be. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Listen to how Paul puts this into the Romans. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Do you remember last week when Andrew talked about setting our affections on things above? This is that same idea. This is how we're to live. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Do we do that on a daily basis? The mind of the sinful man, hear this, is death. That's the beauty of what God is telling us here. If I don't go after all those wonderful attributes that are in Christ, my righteousness in Him, it will bring death. You and I don't have to live that way. We've been given life in Christ. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. When you and I are operating and allowing the sinful nature, those desires that we have, to rule us, we are not pleasing God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. That's what we have. That's ours. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. That is ours to have, to live on a daily basis. Let's go back to Colossians. I can decide daily to let the peace of Christ rule my heart. I do that with wanting to have a desire. How do I get a desire? I ask for it. What we have in prayer before God is so powerful. When we read His word, we need to be, as Thessalonians says, praying without ceasing. Lord, give me a desire to let your peace rule my heart. That needs to be a prayer all the time. I need to be praying all the time for these things. They're so wonderful. And be thankful. It's just part of who we are. That's why we come and we worship God for all that we've been given. Believers in Christ should be people who are grateful for all they have. And if you're not grateful, then you need to work through in your heart and mind what God says you have. Even if you're going through hard times, God's grace is sufficient to help you through it. Then it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do we do that? Do we spend time in God's word? And it says this, dwelling in us richly. This is the word of life. And I know we're busy. I know life gets complicated. But here's what I believe God is saying to us. If you and I think we can live without learning God's word every day, allowing it to be rich in us, we are not going to experience the marvelous life that God has for us. These are the words of life. These are Christ words. They're living, they're active, they're powerful. They convict, they point out my sin. Steve has said that many times. There's one prayer that we know God will answer. Lord, show me my sin. Pray about those things. Lord, let me be a person who just desires to know who you are through your word and to go after it. Then if you drop your eyes down to verse 17, and it finishes with this great encouragement for all of us. And whatever you do, whatever, for the Christian life, there is nothing secular. Everything you and I do is spiritual and godly. Please see it as that. Your work, your play, exercise, what you eat, it's all done for the Lord. And we don't always measure up for that. But God wants us to see that. We've said it here before. Everything we do here at Hope is not about us. It's about bringing glory to God. If you and I bring glory to God, we will be on a wave of magnificence and wholeness and fulfillment, because we were created for that very purpose, to glorify God. And if you and I experience that, we will be fulfilled. But we let things get in the way. God is saying, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This morning, we're going to have communion. This is a place where Jesus himself said, listen, as you go through life, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what I accomplished on the cross for your life. We not only come to the table and recognize that our salvation is a gift of eternal life. We not only realize, as the Revelation talks about, when John saw the scene and there was no one worthy to open up the scrolls, and there was silence in heaven, and finally the Lamb that was slain came and was worthy to open up the scrolls. Our salvation for eternity is because of the Lamb that was slain. But today, as you and I desire to allow the peace of Christ to rule our hearts, for the words of Christ to dwell on us richly, for us to be a people, no matter what we do, as insignificant as it may seem, I can do it for my Savior. We can come to this table and rejoice. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. I'm going to ask you to prepare your heart. This table is for only those who have been justified and are in the process of being sanctified. We certainly want you, if you're not a believer, to receive Christ. You can do that today. You can say, 4 years from now, I was sitting at Hope Community Church, and I heard the gospel that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that person. I receive you today, Lord. I need you. And God will come in and be your Savior. But today for us, as we take of this bread and I'm going to pass out all the elements, the bread and the juice together, and we'll wait and take it together. You prepare your hearts to just be grateful to a God who has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, I would ask that you would help us to have a desire to deeply follow after you. What we've been given in Christ is magnificent. We cannot do it on our own. Lord, please live in and through me. As we've learned from Colossians, you are our all in all. Be that today in Jesus.